You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot, fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day. I get excited about it every night about it. A real C's fan wouldn't want to live their life without it. Banner 18 in the making, we gotta make it. Best squad in the East and still we can't get complacent. Most winning franchise, so the history's ancient. You could tell them other guys to go and plan a vacation. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and Jay King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. The most in-depth coverage that you ever gonna hear. Well respected in the city like Russell's career. It's Raining Jay. Millie.
Coach, you back to these guys hanging their heads. There's a bit of a confidence issue, it seems.
Did I say that?
Sorry?
Are you asking me, or did I say they were hanging their heads?
I'm saying, okay. It seems like there's a confidence issue. Well, I guess then, is there, do you see that there's a confidence issue? And if there is, how do you, especially with these younger guys, how do you get them to kind of snap out of that?
I mean, I think that that's a, maybe there's something there. With what you're saying, I think there's a lot of things that it could be. But at the end of the day, you know, you build confidence through doing really hard things over and over and over, because that's your focus, that's your intent. Your job is your focus. You know what you're supposed to do. You perform every assignment. You do it physically. You do it tough. And then all of a sudden, the ball goes in. It's just kind of funny how it works. The game honors it. You know, I had an old friend that was one of the best NAI coaches ever, and coached for 34 years in the state of Indiana, and his phrase that his team used was, the game honors toughness. And boy, is that true. You see that. You see that over and over. And so I would say that if we're struggling with the ball going in the hole, that we should just lock into what we need to do better, and that'll take care of itself.
That was Brad Stevens talking about toughness. The theme out of the weekend was him questioning the Celtics' toughness, and a lot of kind of talking after a very, very disappointing loss to the Utah Jazz, 98-86. We're the Raining Jays, John Corrales, Jay King of The Athletic, going to talk about the Utah Jazz. Actually, Sam Jam Packard and I talked about the Toronto Raptors. That was a game that happened on Friday. That was a much better game, an overtime win. So that will be the third segment. Me and Sam recorded a post-game thing after the Toronto game. But Jay and I are here to talk about the Jazz and this whole toughness thing. And the thing that just struck me from Brad Stevens is he didn't have to answer the question that way. He didn't have to go into the whole toughness thing. He didn't have to go into the game honors toughness and all of that. He could have just stopped at, maybe there's a confidence thing, maybe we'll have to get through it. But he just kept on going. And I know going into the press conference, after Brad Stevens subbed out most of the starters at the top of the fourth quarter, we were waiting for Mad Brad to show up. And at the end of the press conference, post game, he finally kind of showed his frustration.
I think he showed it all the way through. I mean, one of his first lines was, that's just kind of who we are.
Yeah,
that's
true.
We have our moments and then we have our poor moments. And so he was pretty frustrated from the beginning of the press conference. I kind of figured he was going to show frustration based upon the number of times he like spun and slammed the scorer's table after the Jazz had alley-oops during the game. I also think he's just kind of fed up with the inconsistency the Celtics have had so far. And I think a lot of the players are irritated by that so far. And I don't think the world is falling. They're still 9-7. They're still pretty good. Like, the start hasn't been totally terrible. The schedule, like, if you look at the next month, if they reel off a ton of wins over the next month, I will not be surprised at all. If a month from now people are saying, oh, they're back, the Celtics are back, I won't be surprised at all, because they're playing basically no one for a while and they're probably going to rack up a lot of wins. But it's just been, there have been some uninspired stretches of basketball so far. and Brad's frustrated, and players are frustrated, and the mood in the locker room was a little weird last night.
You know, I really found it interesting post game that Kyrie kind of let us in. He pulled back the curtain a little bit and said that we had just, I know the Celtics had a, like a 4 or 4:30, something like that, a late shoot around. But it was, so it was like a pregame shoot around where they put in the game plan for that night. And Kyrie said post game that basically we had just put in the game plan and guys were still not in the right spots. So there's some frustration that, like, I don't know why. I don't know who. I can guess. I think, you know, I'm putting a lot of this on Tatum and Brown. I think
Kyrie put a lot of it on the young guys. He didn't name anyone, but he said the young guys. And Kyrie's first comment was, "Yeah, Tatum got to switch the first play of the game and just settled for a jumper." And I kind of knew at that point there was a telltale sign we weren't going to play well. It's like, yeah. Oh, okay.
So, right, the first play of the game, you look at that first play, the switch happens. Favors switches onto Tatum, and he's in the corner. And Kyrie sees it and goes out to the wing. Tatum has the ball. He calls for the ball and tells Tatum, he waves him over to the top and gives Tatum the ball at the top of the key. Gordon Hayward on the left wing steps out. Jaylen Brown on the left corner steps out. So everybody's clearing out space. Al Horford is walking away from the play. The lane is completely wide open. That's what Kyrie is talking about there. And Tatum, instead of taking Derek Favors off the dribble, just pulls up from three. Now, it's not the worst shot in the world, but it's also not what he should have done and not apparently what Kyrie expected. So first of all, there's that element of, here we go, these guys are settling for shots, and that's bad. Secondly, Kyrie calling out Tatum, who's like, it seems like his little brother in the locker room.
And it was funny because moments before Kyrie said the things about the young guys, like, he and Tatum had what seemed like a really fun conversation. Like, they were going back and forth with jokes, and then Tatum walked out, and Kyrie went to the media and just kind of
roasted him,
kind of lit into the young guys a little bit. So it was interesting. I don't think Kyrie pointed the finger at himself too. It wasn't like he was only going at the young guys. He said he made some dumb fouls, and he blamed himself for some uncharacteristic mistakes. So it wasn't like he was only pointing his finger at the young guys, but I thought it was telling that he thought the young guys needed to adapt to the pressure that's put on them. Like, last year they had no expectations. They were just kind of out there and doing their own thing. And now the expectations are there. And when they lose, now it's like there's scrutiny.
Yep.
And I think this is the first time in probably Brad's tenure that this has been the case, and the first time for some of these young guys that this has been the case. Like, when they lose, they're now expected to win. They're now expected to be one of the best teams in the Eastern Conference. So even when they lose, they lost to a good Jazz team. Like, that's a really good Jazz team they lost to. But because of the expectations, because of what people think this team can be, it's more. And I think there's been an adjustment period for some of the players to that. And I think obviously on the court, they're still certainly adjusting to the new hierarchy and the new ecosystem. And these guys, like, they haven't figured it out offensively, certainly. I mean, their numbers in the Jazz, they were blown out for the most part. Their defensive ratings in that game still would have been, it would have led the league for the entire season.
Well,
which is outrageous. And Brad's out there questioning the toughness. And it's like, well, the defense, like, yeah, they gave up some alley-oops, but the defense held a good Jazz team to what would be the best defensive rating in the NBA.
Right.
And it's like, And it's like, so the toughness to me, it's like the toughness is, I don't know if you ever read Jay Billis's piece on toughness. And his thing is like, toughness isn't about like being physically strong or, you know, being like a dominant physical presence. It's about doing the right thing time after time. And I think that's where this Celtics team has fallen apart a little bit, is that they get out of themselves when things go wrong and they start settling for jumpers. And when things spiral a little bit, they don't respond like they did last year. Last year's team got down double digits almost every game, it seemed like. But they always stuck together and they always trusted the system and they always seemed to come back. And this year, even when they do come back, they haven't finished the comebacks. And it's like when things go wrong, they don't totally trust it yet. And I think that's understandable because of everyone switching roles and Hayward's coming back and he's still not himself. And there's so much going on with this team right now. But it's also, that's the case right now. They just don't trust everything right now. And that's the toughness Brad's talking about. It's not physical toughness. It's not defensive toughness. It's, we need to have the mental mindset to do this play after play, no matter what is going on. And they don't have that right now.
Well, again, go back to the quote from the top of the podcast where he said, you build your confidence through doing hard things over and over. And because that's your focus, that's your intent, your job is your focus. His whole thing is the focus. It's the mental thing. There's no doubt. Like if you put the 30 NBA teams into a WWE cage match, the Celtics would have a very good chance of coming out of that cage match because they are a bunch of physically tough guys. But mentally, they have a lot of problems because it's the same story that we've had over and over again, that these guys, when things aren't going right for them, they don't respond well. And to use the pejorative, this is what you would call a front-running team. When things are going well, it's great. When things are going poorly, hold on. When things are going poorly, it's not great. I'm not saying they're a front-running team. But
I was just going to say they were down 8 in the fourth quarter against the Raptors the night before and came back and won.
Right, but generally, when things go poorly, they don't respond well. Now,
but when things go well, they don't respond well either. Like the Nuggets game, they're up 20. They lost that. It's like,
but it's not for whole games though. It's weird. That's kind of where I'm getting at. It's not for whole games. They'll get up 20 and then it's like, okay, we're cool. And then things start to go badly. And then like Brad has said this a bunch of times so far in this stretch. We're either good or we're bad. We're not mediocre. We're either really good or we're really bad. There's no in between. So when things are going great, they can feed off of the greatness. Then at some point things turn sour, and then it feeds into this long stretch of it just devolves into a mess, and they get down to like 20, and then they get desperate. And going back to Brad Stevens, when he said before, we don't hunt well until we get desperate, and we've been desperate a lot. When they get down, then they get desperate, and then things start to snap back into focus. It's weird with this team right now. It's hard to really explain, but the mental toughness part that Brad is talking about is not these big wild stretches, not this big manic, you know, disorder that the Celtics have right now. The toughness is when the other team hits a few shots or when you miss a few shots, you just go to the next play and you don't go into isolation and you don't go into whatever it is the Celtics go into and you don't start to sulk or you don't start to like slump your shoulders and have it affect other aspects of your game. The toughness for the Celtics is, okay, I missed an open jumper. I'm going to go back down and I'm going to be in the right spot defensively and play this next possession like the last one didn't happen. And that's where the Celtics are really lacking right now. they let multiple possessions get affected by something bad that happened. They'll pull out of it at some point in the game, but they still let something bad affect multiple possessions. And that's bad. And that's where the toughness comes in.
Yeah. And I think a lot of it is just guys trying to adjust to roles that have shifted from last year. And I as much as we talked about this all the time over the offseason, like this is one of our few topics we repeated all the time over the offseason, I think we underrated it. The fact that these young players who were given all the freedom in the world during the playoffs now come back and things are totally different. And things are totally different for Jaylen Brown. Things are totally different for Jason Tatum. Things are totally different for Terry Rozier. Like, it is a totally new world for those guys. And thriving in this new world is the balance that they have to strike and the balance that has been really tough for this Celtics team so far. If you look at the numbers, it's obvious. The offense is what has dragged the team down. Mm-hmm. All the time. It's just the offense. They have enough talent. Offense shouldn't be an issue. Like, they have shooters everywhere. Shooters aren't shooting well. Shooters don't know when they should be aggressive. Players don't know when to drive, when to pass, when to ISO. It's like guys are just totally, it's an awkward fit right now. And they need to learn how to get out of that. And there's just a lot that these Celtics need to work through. And it is just
a mess.
It's been awkward at times. It's been worse than awkward at times. And sometimes it's been great. Sometimes it's been like, oh man, this team is really, really cooking. And I think Gordon Hayward's current status has complicated everything. Mm-hmm. Because, like, he was really good against Toronto. That was, I think, pretty substantially his best game of the season. And then he tries to play a back-to-back after playing 39 minutes. And he threw a couple turnovers where the Jazz, like, they didn't even consider helping when he was in the paint because they figured he wasn't going to try to rise up and explode in the paint. And he's not always himself right now. He's shown flashes of like the playmaking, he's shown flashes of every once in a while. It's like, oh, whoa, Gordon Hayward's really helping right now. But other times he is just not mobile enough, not decisive enough, not bouncy enough to be what he is. And I think that's a tough adjustment for everyone, not just him. And obviously it's hardest on him because he's like, what the hell? Like, that's an easy play. That's an easy play I would have made so easily for so many years of my career. And now everything's a little tougher. But also it's tough for everybody else because here's Gordon Hayward, who's supposed to be one of the guys who makes everything easier for everyone else. And right now that's not always the case. Right now he's struggling and they're just, and I honestly expect the Celtics to rip off a ton of wins over the next month because their schedule stinks and they're still a pretty damn good team. Like even the way they've played, they're the best defense in the league and like their net rating is still whatever +2 or +3 or whatever it is. But their offense is just disgusting sometimes and they need to figure a lot out.
You bring up a lot of good points. Let's take a pause here because I want to touch on this. A lot of stuff there that I want to kind of focus on because it's stuff that I've kind of been talking about on Twitter and I've written about a little bit on Red's Army. So, but before we get into that conversation, I want to just point out to anybody here who's got a local business, if your company is looking for a new way to reach customers, you can be mentioned right now. This is where I would normally do an ad read. So you can have your business advertised here in this spot. Podcast listeners are 60% more likely to interact with sponsors that they hear on their podcast. Okay, because podcasts are very focused, and it's not like you're advertising on the radio where it's just kind of all over the place. You know exactly what you're getting when you get into a podcast. Our demographic is 98% men. That's who we get. Podcast listeners in general have more education. They have more earning power. It's just a different kind of audience than your typical radio. So spend your money on podcasts and spend your money here on the Locked On Celtics podcast. Email us, lockedonceltics@gmail.com, lockedonceltics@gmail.com. We'll give you more information. This is the place to go for to grow your business and to get that bang for your buck for your advertising dollars. Okay, Jay. So a couple of things here when it comes to the offense, and just so focused on the offense. But I think the Celtics' biggest problem right now is that there's no clear number two guy. There's Kyrie. He's the clear number one. When they need a bucket, he can cook, and he's going as good as he's gone in his career. He's really on top of his game. Gordon Hayward is supposed to be the number two guy, but he's not Gordon Hayward anymore. He's Gordon Hayward minus the whatever has been sapped because of his recovery from injury. While he gets back to Gordon Hayward, and he still does a lot of things well, he still passes very, very well. But until he gets back to a level where he becomes the clear number two, I think Jason Tatum has tried to stake his claim as the number two. I think Jaylen Brown has tried to search for his own offense more than he should. And when we looked at last year versus this year, the biggest difference is those three guys. One, we have Gordon Hayward, but he's just not what he was when they signed him. They have Jason Tatum, but last year he was a rookie who deferred. And we spent all last season saying, I wish Jason Tatum would be more aggressive and hunt for his own offense a little bit more. And now this year he's hunting for his own offense a lot, and we're like, whoa, 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 dial it back. Let's get more of what last year. Defer a guy that, you know, that picked his spots. And Jaylen Brown, I continue to think that he, as the kind of fourth or fifth option on this, is not happy as the fourth or fifth option. Jaylen Brown should be, if we were just assigning a role and he would accept it, he should be a catch and shoot corner three guy who drives against closeouts and dunks in transition. Like, that's all his offense should be. I don't blame him for trying to do more than that and trying to be more, because I think he can be more eventually, and I think he wants to be more because everybody wants to be more than what they're pigeonholed as. But if he could just do those things, if he could just say, all right, I will spot up, I will space the floor, I will catch and shoot when I'm open, when they close out and I can put the ball on the floor and take one or two dribbles and get to the rim, I'll do it, and then I'll get into transition. He could probably average 15, 16, 17 points a game just doing those things. So all of this is to say that the Celtics have the formula there for what should be a good offense. Kyrie is the guy. Gordon Hayward is the number two. Tatum is 2A. Brown is everything I just said he was. And Al Horford is the facilitator. If all of those things happened exactly like that, this offense would be great. But Hayward's not the number two at this point. Tatum is trying to do too much offensively, too much individually. Jaylen Brown, I think, is trying to do a little too much individually.
His numbers are ghastly. They are, 36.2% from the field, 27.3% from the three-point arc. He has been...
The shooting is terrible. It's
been bad.
And look, and a lot of these are open shots, but I just think he's not... It's not that he's just missing open shots. I think it's all a cumulative effect of the type of offense that he's trying to play. If he just was a catch-and-shoot guy... And was happy and comfortable doing that, that would be – then I think he would hit more shots. They got to find a way to get him to hit more shots.
One thing I keep coming back to, and this might – it might not be on base, but it's just something that has come to my mind while watching him play recently. When he was at Harvard and he was giving his speech, he had a question and answer session. And one of the things he said during that was that he thinks sometimes – he thinks too much while playing basketball. Like
that's really
like he thinks about what he should do. He thinks about what he shouldn't do. He overthinks things sometimes. And so I keep coming back to that when he's, you know, missing some layups that normally it would be makes for him. And when he's missing pretty open three pointers pretty regularly, I keep thinking back to that, like, is he just trying too hard to fit into this? And I know that this is a tough adjustment for him, but, and maybe that's not what's really happening, but I just keep thinking back to that, while watching him play and while watching some of the difficulties he's gone through early in the season.
Look, I would totally completely buy into that. Because it fits kind of what I'm seeing on the floor, that he's not in the right spots. And if he's not in the right spots, then it means that he's late. And if he's late, something's making him late. And it's the one thing I've always learned when I was playing basketball. If you're thinking on the floor, you're screwed. Like, thinking is for practice, and if you're on the floor and you're just like offensively anyway, you should be reacting. Like basically you should be reacting. The game should be muscle memory. You should be able to, like, defensively you should say, okay, here's this. I see this screen. I see this thing. I hear this play call. I got to do blah, blah, blah. If you're reacting, you're moving that half step quicker. And basketball is that, especially at this level, if you're reacting and you're making that step, that move immediately versus thinking and you're a half step behind, that's the difference between defensively getting beaten for a layup. Offensively, that's the difference between a charge and getting a foul call. It's so precise, professional basketball, professional sports, so precise that anything that slows you down can really, really mess up your game. So I wouldn't be surprised if, and I don't remember him saying that. I don't remember reading that. So that wouldn't surprise me. And I think that's something to follow up on with him. He needs to get to a place if that's happening. He needs to get to a place where he's just reacting. And we talk about the Celtics offense. It's a read and react offense. You got to read and react. You don't have to read, think it through, and then do something. It's just read, react, go. So anyway, that's
get him.
Yeah, no, I'm not even trying to get him. I really want him to succeed because I think he can be a really good player. But If he's stuck thinking things through, then he's got to adjust. This could be as simple as once Gordon Hayward is healthier, and once Gordon Hayward becomes more of what he is expected to be, then other things snap into place because then he becomes the obvious number two option, and players on the floor will be like, okay, like you can sit there and watch Kyrie cook, and just know that Kyrie's better. If you don't know who the next guy is, who's better than you, like we've all been on the basketball court, you and I have played basketball. I know who on the floor is either better than me in general or playing better than me that night. So I know who to get the ball to when the situation calls for it. If no one knows who to get the ball to, if the star guy doesn't have the ball and he's being taken out of it and there's no other guy, then it's a bunch of guys going like, okay, I got to try my thing. I got to try something. So, and that's just not right. Like, there's got to be a hierarchy. And I've said this before on the podcast. There's got to be a hierarchy with these guys. There's just too many guys. The Celtics have too many guys who are at the same level. And they need to have a very clear hierarchy to
I would argue that the hierarchy thing doesn't matter. As long as everybody is willing to commit to getting a good shot for the team. Like, it doesn't matter who's number one, who's number two, who's number three. If you're not going to settle for a mid-range jumper with 10 seconds on the shot clock, and if you're going to try to beat switches and get into the paint and create a driving dish for another teammate, like, it, the hierarchy doesn't matter. What matters is that the Celtics haven't, as a team, meshed to the point where, as Steven says, they hunt great consistently. And maybe the hierarchy thing, I think that complicates things, because I think a lot of teams, like, you look at the Houston Rockets, for example, like, they're going to give James Harden the ball and they're going to run a pick and roll and he's going to find them a good or great shot every time. And the Celtics are different because they want all five guys to be able to attack and make plays. And when some of those guys settle or some of those guys aren't willing to commit to hunting great. I've said it that way too many times this podcast, but it's true. Then they're going to suffer until everyone can make that commitment on a possession to possession basis.
All right. Let's kind of leave that there. There's a lot to digest. The Celtics play in Charlotte Monday night, and they'll hopefully kind of clear some of this up. Charlotte is a decent team, not great. Kemba Walker is a great player, just scored 60 points. Hopefully they can figure some of this out. In the meantime, we will come back with some thoughts. We'll end it on a positive note. Thoughts from me and from Sam Jam Packard, recorded on Friday night after the Celtics beat.
That was such a fun game to watch.
That was an amazing game. I mean, the Celtics beat the Raptors 123-116 in overtime. Kyrie Irving was amazing. He was just on fire. That was a fun, fun game. So we'll end with me and Sam post-game Friday, recorded at the Garden. Let's listen to that. Celtics beat the Toronto Raptors 123-116. Kyrie Irving, the big story, 43 points, 11 assists. Monster night came in the fourth quarter with the Celtics down big, and well, not big, but like eight. And he ended up helping turn this game around. They got a big performance also from Marcus Morris, mostly defensively. Gordon Hayward played 39 minutes. That's a big story. Jason Tatum had 21. So here we are, Jim. First of all, I guess the biggest thing is Kyrie had one of the best performances I've seen on the basketball court.
Frankly, I thought it was pretty peaceful. That's the way Kyrie described it after the game. But he was amazing tonight. The thing that was most wild was his efficiency. 18 for 26 is an insane shooting percentage to shoot for one game, and he only attempted 6 threes, so a lot of that was finishing at the rim. It felt like he was just in the zone where any angle he took to the rim, he was going to be able to finesse a way to get it into the basket. Mook said after the game, Kyrie must have got A's in English class, but all the English he put on the ball, which is a great line. But it's true, and he really propelled the team forward in the fourth quarter. I thought that and I think the Celtics did a very good job defense, especially late. It started off ending the third quarter, but then to end the game, and then in overtime, they did a very good job on Kawhi Leonard. It helped that some of the Raptors fouled out of the game, but I thought it was just defense and Kyrie Irving being pretty much unstoppable is what got the W tonight.
Yeah, speaking of that, Danny Green fouling out was a big deal. Who else fouled out? It was Pascal Siakam fouled out.
Who was very good tonight.
Yes, Pascal Siakam. He's just very good. 16 points, 9 rebounds, 6 of 11 shooting. He always seems to have like an efficient night. So losing those guys was big for the Raptors. Raptors, look, they may complain about fouls, but they had a third quarter that was just ugly and gross. And when they went to the free throw line like 15 times to really take over that the game at that point. So another big story here, we can gush around about Kyrie, but with two games this weekend, we've got to keep it moving. The other big story, Gordon Hayward, 39 points. He said after the game that it was a kind of a nice to get back into a game like that. And he is just taking those next steps. Brad Stevens keeps saying he needs to be a jack of all trades, which he was again tonight. 5 rebounds, 5 assists on 15 points on 8 shots. Again, another efficient scoring night. Hayward did a lot.
He also had 4 steals and drew the big offensive or the foul on Siakam that fouled him out of the game. I thought he did a good job rebounding. Brad mentioned that he's playing a lot of the 4, and so I thought he had some tough moments defensively against Siakam, who's just, again, super long and super good, but I thought he overall played well. And he kind of had 2 stretches there. There's a moment where he's playing in the bench to start or to end the first quarter, start the second. Jaylen Brown came in, and it was Gordon, Jaylen, and the bench, and they really went on a run for the Celtics. They went opened the quarter, I think, on a 14-4 run. Finished the quarter on like a losing a 17 or like a 19-2 run. So, you know, classic Celtics. And they say basketball is a game of runs. I think I just coined that phrase. But I thought Hayward, in general, great for that he played that many minutes. And then after having that good kind of run in the first half, had some moments in the second half where it looked like, and in overtime where it looked like they were trying to get him the basketball. I think he scored 4 points in overtime. Nice fadeaway. They were able to attack Kyle Lowry on some switches and just using their size. So I thought it was a good performance from Hayward. Brilliant adjustment by Brad just by telling him to play better. I thought that was very
big.
Smart.
I'm going to hand it to the coach on that one.
But I think the jack-of-all-trades quote is interesting because obviously he's not going to be your go-to scorer, especially when you have Kyrie Irving play like this. But there were moments when he was the second unit's backup facilitator, or if Kyrie was they switched Kawhi onto him for a play, Hayward could be the guy who kind of play makes in that opportunity. So I think it's going to be Kyrie's going to want to be the guy who gets big numbers, and occasionally Tatum will go off. But then you're just going to have Al and Hayward being very, very solid basketball players. And I think that's kind of the formula for success at this point.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Just be solid. Be better. A big Brad Stevens coaching adjustment. One adjustment that he did make, though, Marcus Morris playing the 33 minutes to Jaylen Brown's 25. Jaylen Brown came out aggressive. I thought he came out really great. And I thought it was going to shape up to be another big Jaylen Brown night. He tailed off, I think, in the second half. He started to settle for those jumpers and threes and get away from the attacking. So Brad Stevens kind of went away from him. And he, after the game, Brad Stevens said it was because Mook did a better job on Kawhi Leonard. But I have to think that Jaylen Brown not doing the things, the aggressive things early on, was part of it. But Morris did do a pretty decent job on Kawhi Leonard, as decent a job as you can do. 31 points for Leonard, but 11 of 25 shooting. It's still not a bad shooting night, but 0 of 3 from 3, and Kawhi missed that shot to that could have won the game, and the reason why we even had overtime in the first place. So Mook got the minutes instead of Jaylen Brown.
Yeah, I think a large part of it was that defensive matchup. The Celtics, any other defender really had a tough time stopping Kawhi tonight. Kawhi, we saw post up smart successfully multiple times.
That's
which is
shocking.
Which is very rare, but this is actually the first time the Celtics have ever beaten Kawhi. He was 9-0 against the Celtics going into this game, and they don't really have the best. It feels like they do a very good job against stopping players like Ben Simmons, Giannis, Embiid, some of the great better players, but Kawhi always seems to feast. Tonight, Mook was right. He kept Kawhi to a relatively inefficient 11 for 25, and it just made sense that the Celtics were clearly playing better with Mook in the game. Jaylen Brown, he only played like basically the whole team had a pretty dreadful second quarter where they only scored 10 points for the final 7 minutes. But then Jaylen Brown, they had a slow start to the third, and they went back to Brad immediately went to that switch to Mook, and it kind of it made things a little bit better for that. And it's just, that's the thing with the Celtics. I mean, they're going to have to be adults and handle this, but matchup dependent, they're going to put the best 5 guys out there. And we've seen portions of the game where Al Horford sat the other night. Jaylen Brown is probably the most likely to sit right now because he's been not the most consistent, but that's kind of the beauty of having the depth that they have. Sometimes it's going to be Smart stepping in. Sometimes it's going to be Morris. Sometimes it's going to be Rozier.
Yeah, and look, early in the third quarter, Brad Stevens called the Mad Brad timeout, and then a couple of minutes later, he pulled Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum 4 minutes into the quarter to change the energy because they started the third quarter kind of sluggish, and it kind of worked. That kind of helped the Celtics at least stay within reach. There was a point there where it threatened to get out of control. Of course, reinserting Kyrie Irving helped in that regard, but look, Jaylen wasn't having a good game. Jaylen Brown was having actually a pretty terrible game, and then he came out, and then when he came back in, I think later on, whether that got him right, whether that got his head right, I don't know, playing alongside Kyrie and getting that overflow certainly helps, but Tatum was big down the stretch, but you see Brad Stevens not afraid to take those guys out if he feels like they're not performing.
Yeah, and I think the last thing I want to just focus on is just bringing it back to the defense again. The Celtics were down 8 points closing out the third quarter, and they really got a number of consecutive stops that got them back into this game. And the fourth quarter is where I thought they played their best defense, and that was largely responsible for Mook. Or Mook was largely responsible for that. I also want to credit Kyrie. He's made some more hustle plays on defense. I had the most homer note in my notes for the game. It said, Kyrie's doing a really good job contesting at the rim after he gets beat off the dribble. It was after he got a block on Lowry. But actually, down the stretch, I thought he did a good job being very aggressive, switching out on the screens. They were really trying to attack him. The one time he jumped out on a screen, actually forced Kawhi out of bounds for a big turnover.
That was big.
I thought he did a very good job. Another time Kawhi is coming down for an easy layup, he forces a jump ball, which the Celtics eventually win. I'm saying because of this very funky tunes that were playing after that jump ball timeout.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But Kyrie, he gets knocked for his, effort on defense sometimes dying on screens. But I don't know what it is. It's like either when he's playing an Oracle or he consenses a big game. When the energy's going right, it feels like he definitely rises to the occasion. And so this was I would say it have to be the best performance he's had as a Celtic.
That really is. I mean, he did it on both ends of the floor. I was going to say, I wanted to ask him after the game, but didn't get a chance. His defense has been he's really been focused on the defense this season. I mean, look, Kyrie, the knock on Kyrie is that he doesn't play defense. And, you know, I remember when they even traded for him, there was his defense is maybe a little bit better than Isaiah Thomas's, but not much. But this season has been just really, really good. I mean, for him anyway. And in this game, he did have a lot of pretty good defensive plays, deflections. I still think he leads the league in deflections. The other night, he had 5 steals. I don't know what he had for steals tonight. 3 tonight. So, I mean, steals aren't always the be-all, end-all defensive metric, but it's still pretty good, and he's among the league, the team leaders in defensive rating. So Kyrie doing it on both ends of the floor. So the Celtics beat the Toronto Raptors, get a little measure of revenge, 123-116. Obviously, for those standings watchers in the middle of November,
that's a game.
That's a full game. That's a full game that they picked up. All right, that's me and Sam Jam Packard after the Celtics beat the Raptors on Friday night. Thanks to him. Thanks to Jay. Thanks to you for listening to the podcast. If you're not a regular listener, if this is one of your first podcasts, I hope you've enjoyed it. Thank you very much. Appreciate you. Go ahead and subscribe. Search for Locked On Celtics wherever podcasts exist. If you are a subscriber and you haven't given us that 5-star rating, please do. Give us that good written review. That really is a form of payment. We don't ask you for money, but that's a way to pay us because that will help us rise through the rankings. It really helps us out. And of course, as always, I know some of you have, and I really love that you did. Share the podcast. Tell your friends. Tell the world. Listen to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on Locked On Podcast Network.